Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It is time now for Mind Your Business. Now, let's talk about the constant state of flux in COVID-19 dining restrictions. Up, down, restricted, two people, five people, you know, I'm done doing the math. But one thing's for sure is it's added a lot of pressure on F&B businesses. They're already plagued by manpower issues, rental issues, and they've had to grapple with dine-in curbs and booking cancellations while juggling surges in delivery and takeaway orders. So for restaurants that are newly open or are about to open, owners have had to tweak their timelines and plans. And in a sad case, some older establishments have chosen to throw in the towel or, you know, perhaps take a break from all of this. But despite the challenges faced by the F&B industry over the past, 18 months, 2 years? Karis Holding has pushed on and launched new F&B brands in Singapore. The company has launched Luke's Lobster, Lekker Bear, and the latest, Mr. Holmes Bakehouse, in the past 2 years. So what are they doing right? How are they able to push on with these plans? Well, on the line to help me out with this conversation is Vijay Pillai, the CEO of Karis Holding. Vijay, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Elliot.
What an interesting conversation. I understand that you guys were a wine distribution company before you took over. And now we've seen this expansion where you've got presence in India, the Maldives, Malaysia as well. Tell us more about the company.
Karis started out in 2008 as a wine distribution company focused in the Indian subcontinent, though. Over the years, we've grown it. The business is still very much part of us. And in 2012, I embarked on sort of diversifying the business a little more and focusing on the F&B side. We did dabble a bit in restaurants, but it was very painful to be in a restaurant business per se, you know, which is why we changed our strategy and started focusing on brands and products. So through our business relationship, we got introduced to the family behind Lady M. Mm-hmm. And I was sold on their story, though. I thought it was a great product. It was beautiful. I flew out to New York, tried the products, spoke with the owners, and basically begged them to let me open the first store outside of the U.S., though.
Right, right. Is it really always down to the story that captures your interest when it comes to looking at these brands?
It is very much the story, and then, you know, it follows up with the product and, you know, and what the brand represents and what the people behind it represent as well, though. That's extremely important.
I'm sure all the brands under you are equally important. But for you, I mean, looking at all your brands, which of them, you know, where the story is concerned, really resonates with you or reaches out to you in that sense?
It has to be Lady M, though. You know, it was how we all got started, and it's the first love, right?
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Any chance you could walk us through the decision process of the various brands that you choose? I know you talked about, you know, starting off with the story, and then it goes down to product tasting. But what else do you look at?
A very important aspect is the people behind it, though. The owners of the brand really is what makes or breaks a brand expansion, though. You know, even when we did Luke's Lobster, I spent a lot of time out in Maine with the owners, though. You know, we took about a year and a half before we actually even penned down an agreement. I got to know them very personally, and spent a lot of time staying in their house, understood their whole business, understood who they were as people as well. And that's the emotional sort of relationship side of things. But as a business as well, you know, it has to be able to scale. And, you know, you need to be able to replicate it without too much of a difficulty, though. So what we, all the brands we run, we work out of a central commissary, and it's just a distribution model for us. Each of our outlets, we take a smaller footprint. Our size, store sizes range from about 800 square foot up to maybe a maximum of 1500 square foot. Very little of it goes towards our back end, and we focus a lot more on getting our tables in, though.
Okay. And on the back of all of that, I love the story about Luke's Lobster where, you know, you're pretty much part of the business even before you've taken over the franchise. But what is the mindset do you bring in? I mean, do you look at these brands and you go, I mean, they are international brands in that sense. Do you go, okay, this can scale globally? Or do you look at it with a Singaporean lens? Like, oh, the Singaporeans are going to love this because for them, say, for example, it's about an experience.
There were a few things to that helped in us making the decision. And one of them was when I was in Tokyo, we were queuing up at one of the Luke's Lobster outlets, and you could just tell in the queue, so many Singaporeans around. And to us, the product was something that it was very familiar and easy to deal with. Local love makes it a lot more easier as well, though. Yeah, there's a bunch of factors that come into play when we make a decision on a brand.
I'd like to understand as well, I mean, when it comes to the decision-making, especially now, you know, we're in the midst of a pandemic, how does that change? I mean, what kind of risks do you look at? For the past, 18 months, restrictions going up and down. We hope that things get better as more people get vaccinated, obviously. But what were some of the risks that you had to consider in the past 18 months?
I mean, the risk was, you know, the lowered revenue. Even with as much takeaways and deliveries, you can't really get that same sort of volume as you get when we have dining. But for us, you know, the risk was really just the no dining in. Other than that, we were all still all systems go. Because, you know, our manpower was very nimble. We were able to manage that very quickly. The product was already with us. As I tell the team, you know, COVID is a speed bump in our plans. And for us, it's focusing on the long-term execution of our plans.
And long-term, people will always want to dine out. People will always want to go after good food. You can't run from that.
Well, it's only so long you can sit at home, right?
Yeah, well, trust me. Trust me. You're absolutely right, man. I want to talk about the push factors for a successful franchise. And just imagine that I'm someone that is looking to get into the franchise business. What advice would you give me?
Well, then I'm revealing my trade secrets.
Ooh.
Okay. I mean, just as a whole, though, I mean, you know, it's got to be the experience which the brand is able to provide. Does it resonate well with consumers? Secondly, align goals with the brand owners? Really being able to communicate and them having the trust in you executing their brand, that is critical, though. Mm. And you got to be able to work with them. It's a marriage, essentially, though.
Yeah, a marriage built on food.
Exactly.
But, I mean, for you, you've had so much experience, right, with all these different franchises. Have you ever thought about launching, perhaps, your own kind of concept?
As of now, no. Because a big part of what Keras does is, it's sort of a lifestyle company. And what we want to do is bring experiences which consumer normally need to travel for, but bring it back home, though. So that's primarily what our focus is. It's about bringing experiences.
Fair point. But even though you have dabbled in the franchise sort of sector for so long, are there any lessons from there if a person wanted to launch a brand from scratch? You know, are there any lessons from there that they could use?
The most important thing, though, we've been burnt a few times, right? Mm. And from there, we've sort of harnessed and honed our process of identifying a good partner. The most important thing, if you're going to bring a brand, you need to ensure that the brand is fully invested in its own business, though, in terms of they're able to give you the support and training that you need to be able to properly execute.
To maintain that sort of quality in that sense.
Exactly. You know, like with Ladium, we produce everything locally, and that's very important, though. But what we do is, in normal circumstances, every 6 months or maybe twice a year, we send our chefs over for retraining just to make sure they're at the top of their game. But yeah. Of course, in the last 18 months, have been a bit difficult, but we're planning to get them out there soon again.
Yeah, well, before all of this, I must commend you. The standard and the quality has been consistent at the various Lady M outlets that I've been to here in Singapore. You talk a lot about experiences, and I can't help but think that the F&B industry is so competitive, right? Everyone's trying to come up with some brand new idea, and every week, Singaporeans are always thinking of the next best place to book a slot and go eat there. How do you handle the headache of constantly enhancing the experiences of your brands, constantly making Keras Holdings brands stand out in that sense?
We spend a lot of time as a team thinking how we can elevate an experience. Our latest being where we introduced the Lady M, bringing together bubbles and cakes, right? And that's something we were working on for a while during the pandemic, and we executed it at the opening of after the first phase, heightened alert phase. Mm-hmm. And it was doing well, it was picking up, and then we had this second round come in and had it all to put on hold. And it was the first time we introduced high tea as well at Lady M. So, you know, for us, it's just about how can we keep changing that experience, right? Another example is with Mr. Holmes Bakehouse, though. We did a collaboration with Mighty Jacks, which is an arts and collectibles company. And, you know, they make some beautiful products. They got some good designers. And to change user experience, though, our focus is always on how can we excite our customers again, though. And then that really is one of our driving mantras in ensuring that we're keeping customers engaged and excited about what we do, though.
That's fantastic. Final question, and this is my try my luck question. Any chance you've got, you know, plans to bring in more brands to Singapore?
There's a few more brands which we're looking at, but probably will hold it off till after we're able to travel again. We're always going to be looking at how we can enhance the local F&B scene by bringing in new experiences.
Yeah, it's such a huge, huge part of our industry here in Singapore. Everyone loves a nice dine-out experience. I've been speaking with Vijay Pillai, the CEO of Karis Holding. Vijay, really appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you, Elliot. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.